strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown! Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Ron Wolfley, have you been following the headlines in the last 24 hours?
Of course, Paul.
I mean, if Mike Tyson can fight Jake Paul, if Zach Ertz can rejoin Cliff Kingsbury in Washington, if the Broncos can take an $85 million dead money cap hit because of a quarterback named Russell Wilson, who reportedly is going to meet soon with the Steelers, according to the headlines.
Wow.
If Good Morning Football NFL Network can all of a sudden move from New York City to L.A., which was announced earlier today, and moments ago, if cornerback Quinyon Mitchell can post video of him squatting 505 for five reps, again, a cornerback, then, of course, we can do the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Paul Calvisi here. Ron Wolfley there.
Paulie, of everything you just said right there, I cannot get the image of Russell Wilson and Mike T out of my head right now. Very, very interesting combination right there.
All you have to do is call your older brother, who happens to be the Steelers analyst, if you
Indeed.
Want some intel on that one. So, all right, there you go. Look, everything is moving, and pretty soon, about this time next week, we'll have a lot of official headlines out there. For example, reportedly, Greg Dortch, not much negotiating there, exclusive rights free agent. So they went and tendered him, reportedly $1.12 million. I mean, that is a deal for Greg Dortch. He could be your starting slot right now over Rondale Moore.
Yeah, he definitely could. One of the things I love most about Greg Dortch, Paulie, I believe he is a football player first. He's a football player. You know, we used to talk about Anquan Boldin, of course, and how Anquan Boldin could have played multiple positions. You could have lined him up at the weak side inside linebacker, and he would have been just fine.
Yep.
Could have held up just fine as the weak side inside. I look at Greg Dortch, and no, you couldn't line him up as the weak side inside linebacker, of course. His size is an issue, but, man, his heart. He is a football player through and through. It's not surprising the Arizona Cardinals have dealt with Greg Dortch.
I said to Greg late in the season, I said, you know, on the air about you, I mentioned when you live on the edge of a roster, you play with an edge. Is that accurate? He said,
no doubt.
Absolutely was his response.
And yes.
Look at some of his closing games. I mean, at Chicago, he had the 38-yard touchdown catch and run, right? He had that 40-yard kickoff return in the Chicago game. At Philly, he had an under 185 all-purpose yards between the return game and receiving. So, I mean, he took the month of December and January, and I think he proved to Monty Osifor and Jonathan Gannon that he's got a role in this team.
No, you're right about that, Paulie. It's very interesting what you just said right there, too. I mean, every time I took the field, I knew, oh, my goodness, you better come out here. You better ball out or you're going to be in trouble. I mean, the desperation that I had, it was easy to generate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, here's a guy, Greg Dortch, who was cut seven times his first 3 years in the league.
Wow.
So now, as for Zaven Collins, what are we expecting there in terms of the contract situation? His fifth-year option is going to need to be decided sometime in May. He would be due $13.2 million plus. So I don't think there's a lot of optimism out there at that number that the fifth-year option will be picked up. Here's Monty Osifor just asked about Zaven Collins' game going into next year after he just made the position switch from inside to outside linebacker.
I thought Zaven had a good year for us last year. You know, we went through a transition with him just positionally, got back to some things that he did in Tulsa coming out of college. And so, you know, I thought Zaven made a lot of great strides throughout the season, was out there for us, a lot of snaps, played the whole year. And, you know, I think with him, as with all of our players, I think we expect to see a jump from year one to year two. His comfort level, just getting more used to the position.
What's interesting is I think a number of people on this staff, the new set of decision makers, really saw him coming out of Tulsa as an edge guy.
Yeah.
Now, how do you see his future? Because we've seen him at both inside and outside linebacker.
Yeah, Paulie, I actually thought he was making strides as an inside Mike linebacker. I thought he was making strides right there. And then, of course, the decision was to move him to the outside. And, you know, you have to trust these coaches and the skill set that is shown, of course, the acumen, the football acumen that is shown. You have to trust that these guys know what it is that they're doing, moving Zaven out to the edge. And, you know, to me, once again, it made an awful lot of sense. I just don't know if they're going to pick up that option. As a matter of fact, I this is just me guessing. I think it's working against Zaven Collins, and it bothers me because if there's one dude that I absolutely love on the team, it's Zaven.
No doubt about that. So, look, it's about the quarterback. It's about getting to the quarterback. And then number three, I would contend, it's about protecting thy quarterback. And that brings us to DJ Humphries, who went down late in the year with a knee injury. In fact, here was Monty Osford at the podium at the combine, and he was asked about last year's starting left tackle.
It was too bad, unfortunate for Hump, just, you know, the timing of the injury and, you know, when it happened. And, you know, it's a difficult situation. So all I can say is that Hump's been in the facility every day. He's grinding through rehab, and I know he's going to put himself in the best position to get himself ready to play. It's a tough situation. Again, it goes back to the unfortunate nature of injuries in football. And, you know, I know Hump's going to do everything that he can do to get himself back out on the field.
Longest tenured Cardinal. DJ Humphries used to have his name on this show, The Big Red Rage, once again presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. How do you see his future? Not only is he coming off his second torn ACL, but he's down for a big number under the cap next year.
Yeah, Paulie, you know, once again, and if you just listen to Monty Osinfor right there, he's talking about timing. You know, the timing of this injury, and it was really bad, and he's talking about how tough the situation is right here, and he's talking about it being unfortunate, of course, and I think all of that, it's all obvious, and it's indications that, you know, this is going to be a difficult decision. I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to have, if in fact the Arizona Cardinals were a rebuilt, if this was a team that is going to go out and compete for not only a playoff position, but compete for a Super Bowl. If this rebuild was done and that injury happened to him, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind they'd try to bring him back, seriously, at some point in time. Now, they're going to have to rework the contract, of course, but I think they would try to bring him back at this point in time. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I just don't know because of the rebuild and how new the rebuild is. What are your thoughts on that, Paulie?
Well, I agree with all that, and I would add two other factors. Number one, the guy you took number six overall, Paris Johnson Jr., has the ability to play left tackle. And in terms of this draft, where you have two first-round picks and a high second-round pick, this is an epic, historic draft for offensive tackles. In fact, some say it's going to break the all-time record, which was set a few years back when seven tackles were taken in round one. They say there might be eight. Right now, Daniel Jeremiah has six in his top 20. That's just of all prospects, just based on prospects. Forget about draft order, and we know how teams value offensive tackle.
And you think about it right there, Paulie, what you just said. Yes, why do they value offensive tackles? Because there are guys who are incredible athletes that these scouts are searching all over the world to bring these guys and players in that can actually come off the edge and do incredible things to get to a quarterback. You need offensive linemen, of course, to protect that quarterback. In today's NFL, how much of passing the football actually goes on, we all understand that. You've got to protect that quarterback, and we all know tackles are at a premium.
All right, so DJ Humphries recently was on Justin Pugh's podcast, former Cardinals starting left guard, right? The Net Worth podcast with Justin Pugh. Shouldn't surprise anyone to insert him on air. He's great. And the two of them were chopping it up, and Justin Pugh was asking DJ Humphries, okay, how's he doing coming off the knee surgery? And then they started talking about Paris Johnson as well.
I was at breakfast with Ange, my wife, the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw Paris, and I look up to him. I'm like his little brother. Like I shook his hand. I'm like, all right, Mr.
He's a giant.
All right, Mr. Johnson, nice to meet you.
All right, Mr. Johnson, nice to meet you.
If you need help with anything, just let me know.
Let me know. I'm here to help.
I mean, that starts making me think, like, man, I got to get my ass out of the league.
I've never met a rookie like this dude, like, especially in a rookie offensive lineman, whether it is how he is on the field and actually being ready to play on the field. Like, the guy that he is when with the helmet on and how he is off the field, it's like, they made this dude in the lab also. Like, he's one of those guys that's like, how are you good at everything?
Again, DJ Humphries there with Justin Pugh on Justin Pugh's podcast. And hey, DJ Humphries and Paris Johnson were tight. I mean, they were seen around each other all the time on the sideline, on game day, in the facility. So hopefully a lot of what DJ Humphries has done over his 8 years in the league rubbed off on Paris Johnson Jr.
Yeah, for me, it's one of the reasons why I would love to have DJ Humphries around Paris Johnson Jr. You know, once again, as he's rehabbing that knee. Absolutely. Having DJ around just to be able to talk to Paris Johnson Jr. and have Paris Johnson Jr. be able to confide in DJ Humphries. He's got a lot of wisdom. DJ, as you know, Paulie, he's a dog. He's a dog, and I love the dog in him. And I'd love to see Paris Johnson Jr. adopt that dogship, if you will.
You know what? You're absolutely right. On game day, those two guys are two different people. I mean, during the week, they're really engaging. They're very personable, high IQ guys. But on game day, like, you get out of their way. Like, they have a different look in their eyes down on the sideline.
And Paulie, that's the kind of guy you want. Yeah.
And by the way, DJ Humphries says he's about a couple of weeks away from getting off the crutches. So he's making good progress in the rehab. Hey, join the Cardinal season ticket priority list today. 2024 home opponents include the Bears, the Chargers, the Patriots, the Jets, the Lions, the Commanders, and of course, the NFC West. Go to azcardinals.com/priority list. All right, we continue. Start talking about the draft next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Daily habits. I call it winning behavior. Can you display winning behavior consistently day after day after day? And we have ways to define that. You know, it's not a perfect science, so we know that. But, you know, I think we got good enough people in the building that know how to find that information out, starting with our scouts. Our road scouts have done a great job of giving us kind of the background of these guys for the course of 1, 2, 3, 4 years, even dating back to high school. They've done a really good job with that. And then we'll take all that information and then we'll talk to them and talk to him some more and talk to him some more and then put the card in, Monty.
There you go. Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon just talking about the process. Cardinals with an NFL high 11 picks in an absolutely loaded draft. I mean, like Wolf's dessert plate. This is absolutely loaded this year. I mean, Cardinals have 11 picks and I want more. I'm greedy. I'm like, trade out of number 4. Give me some more picks. We got so many guys at so many different positions of need.
You know, it's so interesting, Bully, because that is one of the tactics that a lot of the best teams in the National Football League use. That's just number of draft picks. They just want guys that they can pick and bring them in, because the more guys you can actually bring in and know that you're bringing them in by using those draft picks, the better chance you got that they're gonna pan out, Paul. They're going to be players. And the Baltimore Ravens, they use that tactic right there. It's not going to surprise me at all if we continue to see Monty Ossenford collect draft picks over the years.
You know, as the GMs like to say, speaking of Monty Ossenford, for all the research you do, all the investigating, all the film work and the scouting, going all the way back to high school, it's still ultimately people evaluating people. So there's going to be a margin of error. So to your point, yes, more picks enhances your chances. There's no doubt about it. You had a chance earlier today to talk with Mel Kiper Jr., the legend himself. And it was interesting. You know, I think the sleeper position, and we're going to get momentarily here to Charles Davis at the Combine with Danny Sorek and Craig Grealoux, but you know, I think the sleeper position, because there's so much talk about tackle, we already talked about that. Receiver, obviously, is ridiculously deep and talented, but that cornerback position. And he even threw out a name with you, Wolf, I'd never even heard of, TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. 6'2", over 200 pounds, ridiculously athletic. So, I mean, there's like a top six of corners, and then add that guy into the mix. And then we know Jonathan Gannon's affinity. That's the position he coached. And the Cardinals have a need at cornerback.
Yeah, Paulie, and not only that, too, I thought it was interesting because I asked him who the biggest killer in the draft was. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know if you actually heard that question.
Yes,
right,
refresh
there.
My memory.
Well, it was Edgerrin Cooper on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
Edgerrin Cooper, man, that blew my mind right there. I haven't heard a lot about Edgerrin Cooper. I did not know that, but 6'3", 230 pounds, of course, playing with the Aggies, Texas A&M. He said Edgerrin Cooper is maybe the nastiest, toughest, dirtiest, and when he said that, he meant that in a good way, inside linebacker coming out in this draft, a guy that they also moved to the edge. Okay.
Wow.
And I know what we're all thinking at that point in time, but
Micah Parsons.
It just doesn't have to be that way, Paulie, right? That's of course, and Hassan Reddick.
Yes.
I think other people will be thinking of. But Edgerrin Cooper, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it'd be the inverse of Hassan Reddick, or you could think of it as a Zaven Collins, right? Inside to outside.
Yes.
But it's funny because Rob Fredrickson on the Red Sea Report came in this week, and he cited the inside linebacker from A&M as a guy that he really likes. So,
he knows what he's talking about.
We're still learning about guys in this draft. So with that being the case, let's go out to Indianapolis this past week on Cardinals Cover 2. Once again, Danny Surek, Craig Grillo, they're talking with Charles Davis from CBS. And Danny started by asking about Kyler Murray and how you build around a franchise quarterback.
For this offense, Kyler Murray, his game to elevate immediately. In your opinion, should the Cardinals prioritize the trenches, or do you look for a playmaker, especially with – look, it's a deep rookie class for tackles and wide receivers.
It certainly is.
How do you make a decision?
It's a tough one, right? It's a tough one. So let's go back and go through some recent history in the NFL. Let's go to Detroit. They took Penei Sewell and played him at right tackle because they had Taylor Decker at left tackle. That worked for Detroit. Let's go to Cincinnati. Should it be Sewell or should it be Ja'Marr Chase? They chose Chase. That worked out. I think it's a matter of what Monty Austin Ford is your GM, Jonathan Gannon is the head coach, and the rest of the scouting department determines when they put that board up where the value is and how they rate those players. Some people think I can get away with a little bit lesser left tackle because I have a quarterback who makes quick decisions. He can run and move. That playmaker out wide is going to give me a little bit more. Others believe I got to have my quarterback protected. I need the left tackle and what have you. Picking where you're picking, because I made some notes on this, sitting there at 4, the receiver might be more value for you at 4 than the tackle would be, because I think you can get a very similar tackle down the road. But that receiver, if you really covet him, and by the way, you might get first bite at Marvin Harrison, because the first 3 off the board could easily be quarterbacks. You may have that decision right there staring at you. And I have to say, if you get the first bite at Marvin Harrison, it'd be hard to turn that down.
A lot of people look at that wide receiver class, those top 3 names, whether it's Marvin Harrison,
Malik Nabers, Roma Dunza.
They're all number one or projected to be number one wide receivers. How do you differentiate whether one is better than another or is a better fit for a particular team?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? And each team has to determine all that. I have Harrison at the top, but that's not an original thought. We all have, and we have for a while. He's been that projected guy for a while. Has everything you're looking for, and just watch his ability to catch short ones, turn them upfield, catch the long one, late hands, go up and get it, run the intermediate route, present that big body, good frame, go and get the football. I really like that. But all the others have that as well. Here's the interesting part. Malik Nabers, I know his coach at LSU very well. Do you remember when the Biletnikoff Award came out and Nabers didn't win it and he was really upset? Lost it by like a vote or two. It was a really close vote. He was really upset about the whole thing. It was actually vocal. You don't hear that very often with those types of awards. So I talked to his coach about it and he said, that's just another chip for him. Like this guy just munches these perceived slights. It's kind of Jordan-esque and like he can create these things. He said, you guys just took him to another level that way. And the kicker to the whole thing is a guy who's not going to be listed at the top of the board, but it's going to be a really good receiver later, is Nabers' teammate at LSU, Brian Thomas. And Brian Thomas is one of those guys that you can play at any position in the wide receiver tray, and he'll produce there. But he doesn't even have to practice them. He can get the lineup. He can get the game plan at a snap, tell you what the other 10 are doing on any given play. And I think that there's another level to his game that's still left. but you got to project it, and you got to believe it's going to go there. What you're getting from the front three is you're already seeing that, and that's why they're at the top of the board.
Cardinals defense finished bottom tier statistically. Could use help in the trenches.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. When you're looking at this draft class, you're thinking about D linemen or top cornerback. How do you prioritize what might have the most significant trickle-down effect for the Cardinals, maybe even in free agency, to address?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Danny, when you get into all this, now we're into that same discussion we had about the tackle versus the wide receiver, except on the defensive side of the ball, because I've grown up in my nearly 60 years on this earth, start inside out. I want the trenches taken care of and everything else goes. It wasn't that long ago. Remember when Denzel Ward came out out of Ohio State and went to Cleveland at number four? They took him instead of Bradley Chubb, the pass rusher out of NC State, which seemed like a seismic change in philosophy. And at the time, it was prioritized because I think Greg Williams was a D coordinator in Cleveland. And he's like, nowadays, the ball's out of quarterback's hands so fast that the cover guy has actually become even more valuable. Now, some people believe it. Some people don't. It'd be interesting to see what Monty Austin Fort and his crew believe, because we're talking about picking at four, but you got a bunch of other picks.
27.
Right? Deep draft all the way through. Offensive tackles, wide receivers, a lot of defensive backs, but mainly at the corner, not the safety position. So that's going to be the interesting part to see where they decide to go. And by the way, the linebackers this year, a good crop of linebackers, but I don't expect a single linebacker going to first round.
There you go. Charles Davis, 2024 Combine. Danny Surrett, Craig Grealou on site in Indianapolis with that interview. Let's go back to the very beginning where his reasoning was receiver versus tackle at number four. There's the big three receivers, but there might be the big six or big eight tackles. Because of that, you go receiver at number four. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Paulie. Well, we've talked about this before in the past, and once again, I do believe Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational talent. And if you believe this guy is not going to be seen in the next couple of drafts or longer than that, because he's that special, he's got everything, he checks every box, Paul, I think you got to pull the trigger on that right there, because I think it's a huge need for your franchise quarterback in Kyler Murray in terms of getting that wide receiver who can actually go out there and make plays for him. You want to help protect your quarterback, protect him with an offensive line, of course, but you also have to protect him by providing him options in which that ball comes out quickly.
And look, you've said it. You're in the danger zone when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr.
I love him.
Yeah, and you know what? I have no problem with a generational receiver. I tend to think Rome Odunze is a little closer than most think. And then you see an NFL.com mock draft come out after the combine. Lance Zierlein, who Danny and Craig also talked to, and he had quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and the Arizona Cardinals at number four going receiver, Malik Nabers, LSU. So
yes,
it's amazing the sort of mind blow that is out there. And then it's so deep. You got guys like Xavier Worthy with a 4-2-1. And then you have dudes with size and speed. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Brian Thomas out of LSU. Ricky Pearsall, the local kid, ran a 4-4-1. Keon Coleman is a stud. Troy Franklin, the number one receiver at Oregon, is 6-2 and a burner. So it is really deep at those positions.
Hey, Paulie, Xavier Worthy, 4-2-1. Kansas City Chiefs get him. How would you want to bet?
Yeah.
The Chiefs get him.
They're calling him a taller Hollywood Brown. We'll get into that a little bit later. That's our mention here on the Big Red Rage. By the way, you can listen to your favorite Cardinals podcast at home or on the go. Search Arizona Cardinals Podcast in your preferred podcast provider or visit azcardinals.com/podcast. We continue to get you coverage from the Combine. Monty Austin Ford next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Pitch to Connor, running left, got a crease at the 30, up to the 35 and down at the 37. Got a couple of offensive linemen out there, including the center, Yelda Froholt.
Man, you see Yelda Froholt all the way down the field making a block.
Good job out there. Froholt was way downfield blocking. Cardinals again after the play, pushing and shoving. Froholt was in there throwing hands. You like that, Wolf?
Yeah, you got that right.
That's all I get, Wolf?
Yes.
Froholt, throwing hands. Give me a little love on that.
Love that. Nice.
Dave Pasch campaigning for some love up there in the booth. Ron Wolfley Yelda Froholt, the Desert Viking, right? Magnus Ver Froholt we threw out there because he has all that gym equipment in there, the Atlas Stones, like the world's strongest man. Feats of strength on his own block, as he pointed out to us in the Big Red Rage once upon a time. Speaking of Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, here we are talking about free agency. Yelda Froholt last offseason. Wolf, did you like the return on investment from a guy who started every single game, darn near played every single snap as your starting center?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it, Paulie. Once again, Yelda Froholt is a guy that not only knows what it is that he's doing, but a guy that is going to go out there and do it on every play. He's going to give you everything he's got on every play. And, Paul, he moves so much better than what I would expect. When you look at a man his size and you watch him run, it's really surprising how smooth he is. And he pancaked. Yeah. I want to say 3-4 guys last season on a lot of these screens the Arizona Cardinals would run. He'd get out in front of the receiver or the running back and just pancake somebody. Did an incredible job at that. So, yeah, he is definitely one of my favorite guys, Paulie.
Hey, you don't have the number 4 ranked rushing game and number 2 in the league in yards per carry as a run game without a stout center. And Yelda Froholt really was a joy to watch the entire season. But once again, you know, I think that's the caliber of free agent you're going after, as opposed to the big names getting the ultra big money. I get it. A Christian Wilkins is out there. Could the Cardinals use that? Sure, but he's probably going to get ridiculous money from someone. Danielle Hunter potentially could be a target if you're looking for an edge guy. You know, and then if you're into cornerbacks, because you probably need 2 starting quarterbacks, right? Jalen Johnson today from the Bears got 4 years, $76 million, 44 guaranteed.
Wow.
And then there are some big names who have been let go or out on the open market. Xavien Howard, Darius Williams, J.C. Jackson, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, you got my attention right there. I just think it's going to take an awful lot of money to sign a guy like Tre'Davious White right now. The Buffalo Bills, you have to wonder, based on all the moves they made, releasing Jordan Poyer and Mitch Morse as well, their starting center. You know, you have to wonder, do they think their window is closed? You know, you have to wonder right now, is the Super Bowl window closed? Yet maybe they feel very, very confident in some of the guys they have coming up behind those guys. And having said all of that, Paulie, once again, man, it's really about guys that are out there that you can afford, because Monty Ossenford, as you well know, he's going to be prudent when it comes to the money he's going to pay these guys.
And I know you saw Avante Maddox, from the cornerback from Philadelphia. He was released, so you know maybe that's a possibility. Maybe that second tier up corner, Jonathan Gannon obviously knows him very well, so we'll monitor that. And by the way, speaking of the Bills cornerbacks, of their DBs, the famous picture, Hale Murray of DeAndre Hopkins with the game winner, right, over the 3 Bills DBs. All 3 of those guys were just released this week. So how's that for fate?
That's awesome right there. But I just want to go back quickly, though, to Avante Maddox, because here's a guy, he's 5'9", 185 pounds, Paulie, okay? So 5'9", 189 pounds. Man, you don't see a guy that has that kind of height challenge, for the most part, playing it at corner a lot. And yet, I think if you moved him to the inside, to the number 3 corner, the nickel corner a lot, I think that'd be an interesting match with this defense, and that being Nick Rawls, of course, and JG. Would they be interested in Avante Maddox? I don't know, but again, we have seen this before. Interest from these guys in regard to some of the players that the Philadelphia Eagles have let go or have allowed to hit free agency. Kaiser White, of course, comes to mind right now, but that is something I think you should watch, because if I were Avante Maddox, this is just me, and I listen, I may be the number 4 corner if I'm Avante Maddox. But if there's any interest whatsoever, man, I'd want to go play for coaches that know who I am and know what I can bring to a team. And if, in fact, they have a good relationship with Maddox, I'd be antenna up on that one.
Yeah. And by the way, another smaller DB, one of our favorite all-time former Cardinals, Tyrann Mathieu, inked a 2-year, $13 million extension with New Orleans. So he'd be going into season number 12. He had 4 picks last year.
Of course.
Honey Badger. How about that? So Monty Ossenford was at the combine, obviously, and our Danny Sarek was there. They were talking about the draft, free agency, and more.
Year two at the helm for you. What's one lesson learned from last year's combine that's adjusted the way you are evaluating this time around?
Yeah, and I think really the biggest improvement that we've been able to make is everybody has been through one of these together. So we all know kind of the direction that we're going, just the processes and what we're trying to get out of these meetings, what we're trying to get from the coaching staff out of the combine. Our scouts are now through their second combine, and really it's helped the continuity, it's helped the flow, it's helped, last year at this time, there was some of our staff that I hadn't even met yet, on the coaching staff. They were just getting here. So, that's really helped, and everybody knows what's expected of them. But where we've been at so far, getting some interviews and having some meetings with different people around the league, it's been a beneficial week for all of us.
In regards to free agency, you said the Cardinals will strike and be aggressive if the right opportunity presents itself. Aggressive in terms of what?
Yeah, and I think really what that starts with is being prepared, right? So we have to be prepared with the evaluation of players, and we have to look into and project them into our systems. They've been playing in different systems, maybe being asked to do different things for other teams, and so we have to see if they translate to what we specifically would ask them to do. And then the other tricky part of free agency is really the market valuation of the players, and there's a financial component of adding any free agents, and so we have to fit that. We have a salary cap in our league, and we have to figure out how all that fits together when you're building the right 53-man roster. And so, we have to be knowledgeable about the players that are available, and we have to be knowledgeable about the market. And really, we have to see if those two things come together to be a fit and is the right person to add to our roster.
To find that right person, there has to be a balance of how you're approaching this entire offseason, of where you find those needs to add to this team coming off a 4-win season. You have a lot of draft capital. You're top 10 in terms of available cap space. Philosophically, how do you determine which needs to address through the draft or free agency?
Yeah, and I think the nature of the NFL is that there's turnover every year, and the team that we had last year is going to be the team that we have next year. And so, at various points throughout the season, there's ways to add to our roster. There's ways to add, and really two of the big ones are coming up in the next couple months here, starting with free agency. And so, I think what we do is we assess where we're at, and we assess where we are not only short term but also long term. And, I think the one thing about free agency is I don't think it's a cure-all. I don't think a team is, that's the great place to be roster building and forming the nucleus of a team. I think that has to happen through the draft. And so free agency is a great tool. It's a supplemental tool, and one that we're going to investigate every single aspect that we can to build our team. And then really, once we get to the draft, then that's where we're going to continue to find the right guys for the team, and that's where the core of our team is going to be built.
Cardinals defense was bottom tier statistically across the league last year. When it comes to improving the defense, which level, if you address it early on, could have the greatest trickle-down effect?
Yeah, and I think it's all levels. I think specifically on defense, and I think you say the same thing on offense, is the game starts on the line of scrimmage. And so, we need good players at all three levels of the defense. So we're going to look at all those areas, and we're going to find the right fits for us where it makes sense just financially and also the fit schematically. But whether it's a draft or free agency, we're going to look at all three levels of the defense and try to improve our team.
You addressed the offensive line early in the draft last year. Left tackle DJ Humphreys tore his ACL late in the season. Your top wide receiver Hollywood Brown is a pending free agent. How do you prioritize your needs offensively?
Yeah, and I think it's really the same conversation. We have needs across the board. Listen, we were a 4-win team last year, and so there's a lot of room for improvement. And so, I think with the NFL, there's never a situation where you can look at one position and say, hey, we're good at this position. We don't need to look there. I mean, the nature of the game is that there's going to be injuries. There's going to be turnover. And so not only building the quality of players on the team, but we also have to build the quantity of depth on the roster as well. It's a long season. Attrition happens along the roster, and so we got to be prepared to withstand those things. So, whether we're talking about adding quality players is certainly at the top of our list, and we're also talking about adding depth to our current roster construction.
The Cardinals are in a good position knowing who you have at quarterback and what you have with a healthy Kyler Murray after the 8 games he played in last year. He had to spend a lot of the last offseason and the start of last season on the sideline, rehabbing that ACL. Once you got a chance to see what a healthy Kyler Murray looks like on the field,
How much more confidence did that give you of how much he can lead this organization to success?
Absolutely. I think last year at this time, there was a lot of unknown. There was a lot of unknown with Kyler and just where he was and with his, the injury, the timing of when it happened. Obviously, we knew we weren't going to be with him at the start of the season. We didn't know how long that was going to drag out. And so, you know, being in a much different spot this year, you know, Kyler attacked his rehab going into last year, and he's continuing to progress and do things this offseason that's going to put him in a great position. So, you know, I think it's taken out a lot of the unknown that we had last year at this time, and to know that we have him and he's going to be, you know, take off where he left off this last 2023 season, and he's only going to get better from here. It's an exciting place to be for us as an organization.
There you go. The GM, Monty Ossenfort, with Danny Sarek at the Combine last week. Think of Monty and how much sleep did he lose this time last year? You had no idea when Kyler was going to be back. You had no idea about so many players on your own roster as a brand new GM, brand new to the organization. At least now you have a real sense of your wants and needs. I know you have about $50 million or so available theoretically, but Kyler Murray's cap number is $52 million, up from $16 million last year. And if you're a GM, well, if you got to build like with 2, 3, 4 years in mind, right? You have to look at the big picture when you're building and spending.
Yeah, no doubt, Paulie. Did you say 52 million?
The cap number.
The cap number was 52 million right there. And Paul, that's one of the reasons why I think at number 4, you take the best wide receiver that is out there. You're paying this guy $52 million. You're going to go out there. You've got to give him options out there. Okay, I digress on that one right there, Bully. I think my biggest takeaway from that interview from Danny, of course, with Monty, is where he said, I don't think free agency is a cure-all. And that, to me, is philosophy, Pauly. That is dogma that Monty Ossenfort has. He certainly displayed that to some degree, I think, last free agent period as well, where he went out and really tried to sign a lot of pros, brought a lot of pros in, and I thought that was a brilliant strategy at that point in time, especially when you're trying to rebuild. Okay, you're not going to go out and get Pro Bowlers. You're not going to go out there and get these all-league, all-world prospects and bring them. You're not going to do that. What you're going to do is go out there as you're trying to get your finances in order. You're going to go ahead and focus on pros, guys that are going to come in here and do their job and be professional. Now I think they're going to try to upgrade it a little bit more as they go forward. Free agency is not the cure, and that's dogma with Monty Ossenfort.
No, you're right. That was a key part of that interview. There's no doubt. He used the word supplemental free agency. For example, if you were a guard away, Cardinals have a need at left guard, right? If you were a guard away from being a playoff team, okay, then maybe you go out. For example, the Rams just moments ago. Kevin Dotson, 3 years, $48 million, 32 guaranteed, $16 million per. So it's costly. Offensive line and receiver will cost you a lot of money in free agency. Both those areas are very deep in the draft, to your point. In fact, speaking of young receivers, we'll talk about Michael Wilson next. The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Blitz coming. Murray backing up. Close into the end zone. Middle of the end zone. Pulled in by Wilson for a touchdown.
I told y'all from day one, you know, I watched his Senior Bowl, and I was like, yeah, that kid knows, you know, he knows what he's doing. I could tell, you know, and then just obviously he had zero catches 2 weeks in a row, and that's not, you know, again, they're not a real representation of, you know, what I think we could be. Now we'll get a full offseason under our belt. I think next year, you know, Mike will have a big year.
There you go, Kyler Murray, talking about third-round rookie Michael Wilson. That finale, Week 18 against Seattle, 6 catches, 95 yards on 6 targets. You know, 2 games earlier, right, Philadelphia, 4 grabs for 35 yards, that big game-winning touchdown. So Michael Wilson, especially at the end of the season, really got in sync with Kyler Murray. And what is the upside after they have an entire offseason to work together? Wrapping up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi and Ron Wolfley here. And Wolf, don't make me break out my list of all the receivers taken beyond the first round who ended up in the Pro Bowl and on the All-Pro teams the last couple of years. Hopefully, eventually, Michael Wilson might be one of those guys.
Paulie, you know what? Honestly, right now, please, I'm going to talk a little bit here because nobody wants to hear that, Paul. Okay? Nobody wants to hear about your list.
Ouch.
Can I just say 11 personnel right now? 11 personnel.
Well, if nobody wants to hear about your personnel groups.
One back, one tight end, three wide receivers. Paulie, can you imagine if, in fact, you had 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, where you had Michael Wilson, you had Marvin Harrison Jr., Paul, you had Hollywood Brown over the top of those
Hello.
Guys. Oh, and by the way, Trey McBride. A true stud tight end who can line up and block in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1-6, can line up and actually you can run it or throw it out of 11 personnel. That is the modern NFL personnel grouping, 11 personnel. And if you had those names with James Conner's toes at 7 and Kyler Murray under center in the pistol from the gun, oh, Paulie, look out.
You are in the danger zone. There's no doubt about that. Here's Monty Asafor, the GM, just talking about Michael Wilson. Can we just focus on what we know and what the Cardinals have? And that is Michael Wilson. And here's what the GM has to say.
Michael Wilson is a very talented receiver, and I think he showed that last year. He made a ton of plays for us as a receiver, run after the catch, catching the ball in contested situations. Underrated part of Mike's game is his blocking ability, which is important in our run game. And he's a good player, and he's only going to continue to get better, and we're looking forward to having him moving him to 2024.
All right, so you pulled a word out of Monty earlier when you said it, you know, free agency isn't a cure-all. I'll pull out the word contested. To me, that was what was most encouraging. I'm most bullish on Michael Wilson. He does a lot of everything, including, you know, blocking in the run game, the whole no block, no rock. He buys into that thing. I get it. But he makes those contested catches. We saw that in week 4, his breakout game against the 49ers. He was battling those Niners DBs and coming down with the ball.
Yeah, Paulie. You know, in a lot of times, too, there's pluses there. There's no doubt about it, those contested catches. But you know what, Paul? Sometimes you need a receiver as well that has uncontested catches. And the reason why they're uncontested is because he's really hard to cover. You know, that, I mean, that is something you've got to take into consideration as well. Michael Wilson, to me, has just scratched the surface of what he could possibly become. And the fact that Monty Asenfort and JG love the way Michael Wilson goes about his business and blocks in the run game. And we all know how important that is. An elite rushing attack in the NFL with James Conner, it's critical you have guys like Michael Wilson, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe, I say. Okay, maybe, Paul. But big wide receivers, Rome Odunze, big wide receivers that can block. That's critical. It's one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals had so many runs of 20 yards or more.
No doubt. No doubt. And I just like how, you know, they want the guys who love ball. For someone who would text Kyler Murray after the Philadelphia game and both apologize and thank Kyler in his text message, apologize for screwing up the route that resulted in the 99-yard pick six, but then thanking him for trusting Michael the rest of the way and throwing him the game-winning touchdown pass. So he's very conscientious in that way. Before we're done here with the Big Red Rage, I want to get your thoughts on what has happened at the safety position, because what we have seen this week, Ron Wolfley, here are some of the names who are cap casualties. Premier names: Justin Simmons, Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs from Seattle, Kevin Byard cut by Philly, Eddie Jackson in Chicago, Rayshon Jenkins, a starting safety, Jacksonville, Xavier McKinney, a 24-year-old cut by the Giants. He was a starter. And it was all because of the cap. And there are a lot of GMs anonymously quoted in these stories around the NFL saying that safety is the new running back. And the teams just aren't valuing that position. That's hard to believe for me.
Yeah, Paulie, you know what? Honestly, it's a situation where I think a lot of this has got to do with the fact that the pendulum has swung back to the middle. The old is being blended with the new, Paul, and because of that, I think it's changing everyone's perception of the secondary, and in particular, those safeties. Paul, that's no accident, right? That's no accident what you see happening league-wide, where all of these safeties, they were signed when the new age offense, for the most part, was taking hold across the NFL, and safety was a huge position against the spread. But now that it's coming more back to the middle and you're blending the old and the new, I think safeties are looked at as overpaid, thus your running back condiment.
And there are still elite safeties, the Derwin James, the Antoine Winfield Jr., you know, the up-and-coming Kyle Hamilton, who was an all-pro, and then, of course, Buda Baker. But it's interesting because when you look at least at the numbers in the websites, right, over the cap, has Buddha's cap number this coming year at $19
million. Whoa.
And Jalen Thompson at 12.5. So the Cardinals would seem to be contrary to the trend.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Now, do they have the cap room? Absolutely. Is Buddha critical? Is he the heartbeat of the defense? Absolutely. I'm just saying it's interesting how the tide is trending one way in the NFL, and it appears the Cardinals are constructed just the opposite. So hang on to your hat, because the legal tampering starts on Monday. The official signings, they can commence on Wednesday. Once again, there is no offseason. It's game season and non-game season. There's always something going on in the NFL. Special thanks, as always, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher, Matt Lazarus, Baron Wolfley. I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.